Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and, well, our guest this evening is Dr. Jerome Corsi, and Dr. Corsi has, of course, been our guest in the past when we've talked about the oil situation. His book, Black Gold, Stranglehold, really was an excellent book. He's written a new book with Chris Simcox and the immigration issue, and called the book is going to be called The Minuteman. It'll be out in July of this year. And is available now, can be advanced ordered from Amazon.com. But we're going to be talking about what the immigration issue is really about. A lot of people think it's about immigrants coming here and certainly getting on welfare, immigrants coming here and breaking our laws, immigrants coming here and at least some of them carrying diseases or participating in crime. But that's not what it is really all about. So much of what's taking place is simply an effort to throw you off the track so you will not understand that the unbridled immigration is designed to change America forever and to destroy our sovereignty. And with that as a background, Dr. Corsi, thank you very much for being with us again.
Dr. Stan, it's an honor to be with you. Thank you.
Why don't you pick up the story and let's get ready what's going on behind the scenes, because it's so important that people understand that we're not going to hear the truth from the media, and we're certainly not going to get it from Rush Limbaugh.
Well, that's right, Dr. Stan. I was working on this book, and it's with Jim Gilchrist of the Minutemen. It's Minutemen, you're right, The Battle to Secure America's Borders. As I was writing it, I couldn't figure out why President Bush was not securing the borders. I mean, here we've got a war on terrorism. And we know that there are terrorists who are coming across our border with Mexico. We've actually have some of them in federal prison. Some Hezbollah terrorists came in from Lebanon, bought their way, bribed their way across the border with Mexico, and set up shop in Detroit, started sending money back to Hezbollah in Lebanon. They're in federal prison. But despite that, President Bush would not secure the border. And as I researched it, I came across this meeting in Waco, Texas, in March of 2005, where President Bush, President Fox, and then Prime Minister Paul Martin of Canada signed a joint statement at their end of their summit that was called the Security and Prosperity Partnership. Now, that I was being told by some experts in the field we should look at hard. And as I did, I found out There was a Council on Foreign Relations report released just a couple of months later in May 2005 that said it was the blueprint behind this Security and Prosperity Partnership. And the idea was to create a new government, the North American Union. The North American Union would merge together Canada, the United States, and Mexico, and it would erase our border with Mexico and erase our border with Canada, such that the only border we would protect is around the periphery of North America, around Canada, around the United States, and around Mexico. And Dr. Stan, within that, as this report was written, the Council on Foreign Relations, there'd be free movement of people, free movement of trade, and free movement of capital. And that, for the first time, seemed to explain to me what was going on.
And, of course, if you read what Vicente Fox and these other internationalists are saying, they say we're no longer going to have immigrants, we're going to have migrants. And it will be perfectly normal for people to migrate from Mexico to the United States. And we will do away with border controls, we'll do away really with every vestige of national sovereignty. Because there really are people who have a different agenda, a different worldview, in my estimation, because they worship a different god. But this plan is really being carried out without the knowledge or consent of either our Congress or the American people, and we'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Jerome Corsi. Well, Dr. Corsi, we were just saying that this program is being carried out. Now, you've had an opportunity to talk to some members of Congress. Do they have any idea what's going on?
No, Dr. Stan, they do not. I spent much of last week in Washington. I visited with congressional offices, and to a congressman, nobody knew anything about what was going on. I pointed to them, there's this website in the Department of Commerce on the Security and Prosperity Partnership. The website is the initials, spp.gov. That's S like Sam, Peter.gov. And this website shows that the Department of Commerce has organized some 20 working groups after this Waco, Texas meeting. And these working groups are utilizing personnel from various agencies in the federal government, all through the federal government. And there's counterpart agencies in Canada and Mexico, which you can link to through spp.gov. And these agencies, these working groups, are creating the regulations for the North American Union without taking them to Congress. The congressmen and their top aides knew nothing about these sites. I was sitting congressmen down at their own computers and showing them the government's websites, and they had no knowledge of what was going on. I mean, that to me was shocking.
I think what's so frightening is the fact that the American people don't know what's going on. Our duly elected representatives don't know what's going on. And you just have a small group of leaders who have a different worldview, who really want to create this borderless North American community. In fact, they've even Council on Foreign Relations coming out with a report entitled Building a North American Community, which is available up on the Internet. But the last thing they want is for the people to know the truth because, well, the people don't want to give up their sovereignty. That's what's so frightening. And they don't care what the American people want. They don't care, you know, what the laws are. They're going to go ahead and carry out their program on their own because they're above the law. And we see this examples of this consistently with the current administration.
Well, that's right, Dr. Sand. These working groups are rewriting legislation. They're taking area by area, and they go from e-commerce, they go through professionals coming into the United States, passports. As you read these, it becomes clear that we're all going to have a North American Union passport instead of a U.S. passport, a biometric card that everyone in North America will have. You can go anywhere and work anywhere. And that means we will be able to have, you know, tens of millions of more coming in from Mexico with a right to be here and to work because they're holding a North American Union passport.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Corsi. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Corsi was saying that he went back to Washington, D.C. He talked to a number of congressmen, and they had no idea about the Security and Prosperity Project or program, and the Congress is not being told, the American people aren't being told. But there is an elite who really doesn't believe in sovereignty, who wants to create this North American community. In fact, they've even released a book put out by the Council on Foreign Relations, which is really the coordinating organization for the elitists to rule America, called Building a North American Community. And what will this actually entail once they get this thing in place, Dr. Corsi?
Well, it's going to entail, Dr. Sand, what this report says, the Council on Foreign Relations, there will be a new government, the North American Union, that our government today is creating together with the government of Mexico and Canada. The North American Union will have a court. It will have its own parliament. It will have a commission which will act as chief executive. And those bodies will be sovereign over the U.S. Supreme Court, over the U.S. Congress, and over the president. Going to be very much like what happened in the European Union, a government created, not just a trade zone, but a government created, and this will be the North American Union as the government. And as you read the authors who put this Council on Foreign Relations report together, you get people like the vice chairman of the group, Robert Pastor, who's a professor at American University. Now, he has consistently, over the last 20 years, written that this North American Union needs to come about to check the power of the United States. He's a very far leftist. He believes the United States is too strong. He wants redistribution of wealth and harming the U.S. middle class by subsidizing cheap labor coming into the United States from Mexico and paying all the social benefits, welfare, hospital service, children to be born and educated in Spanish, everything paid by the American middle class. And Robert Pastor argues not only for a strong North American Union government, he wants a new currency, and he's named it. We're going to be having in our wallets, Dr. Stan, the Amero, the A-M-E-R-O, instead of dollars.
And, of course, that this will be the common currency for Mexico, the United States, and Canada.
That's exactly right, just like the euro is the common currency in the European Union. It's not just going to be a North American free trade zone. It's going to be a North American Union as a government. When you read these documents, and I've linked to them in my articles on Human Events Online and WorldNetDaily.com, you'll see that it calls for, we're not going to have a U.S. Immigration and Control Enforcement Authority and the Department of Homeland Security. There's going to be a North American Union one. There's going to be no longer a need for border patrol because the border with Mexico is not going to be under surveillance.
Well, we'll save an awful lot of money that way, won't we?
Right. Anybody can go anywhere they want. And, all the Mexicans can come here if they want, regardless of their qualifications to work here and qualify for U.S. social benefits.
And, of course, they'll be able to get their welfare, free health care. They'll be able to get, of course, their babies. You can have their babies in our hospitals. They can do whatever they want to because they will have the same rights as American citizens because we will no longer have a sovereignty of America. American citizenship will need nothing. We will be citizens of North America, not of the United States.
That's exactly right, Dr. Stan. And, you know, the United States, as I see it, I agree with Abraham Lincoln. I mean, I think the United States is a unique country in the history of the world. As Abraham Lincoln said, a unique experiment to see whether inalienable rights conferred by God for freedom and liberty can be preserved in a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, a self-governing system. And I certainly do not trust Mexico or Canada to preserve our Bill of Rights freedoms, or our constitutional freedoms, or our Declaration of Independence freedoms.
But there really are people who don't believe in America, who think that America really is too rich, too smug, too self-sufficient, and, too arrogant. And so they want to destroy America. And some of these are some of the richest people in the United States today. They have a different worldview. And until people understand that there is an organized effort to destroy this country and is being led by our great tax-exempt foundations and many of the richest people in this country, and, well, you only have to read the Earth Charter, written by Gorbachev and Maurice Strong and Stephen Rockefeller, where they talk about, equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations. What they talking about is transferring America's wealth to Mexico and to other countries. And what they really want to do is destroy the middle class.
Well, that's right, Dr. Stan. There's a great deal of resentment, and has been, in the United States, because our system of government works and free enterprise succeeds, and that's been resented. And when you look at the who's going to benefit here and you follow the money, you see there's large international capital pools. I started watching this with the Dubai port situation and seeing that Dubai Investment Capital was investing together with the Carlyle Group, put $300 million in the Carlyle Group every year. Carlyle Group is a large Washington capital group that the Bush family is connected with. Carlyle Group has now established a functioning three-person group in Mexico to invest in Mexico, and it's headed by Mark McCarthy, who is Kissinger Associates and also the former chief of staff for Bill Clinton. And who does Dubai Capital, Investment Capital, put money into? Bill Clinton. They give him honorariums to speak hundreds of thousands of dollars and invest millions in his library. So last 20 years, we've had Clintons and Bushes, and the international capital pools have been making sure they're paid. That opens up these opportunities in this regional North American Union for the international capital to come in and buy what they want without caring that it undercuts the middle class, destroys unions, lets the corporations in this North American Union hire below minimum wage and below union wage. And that's really disgraceful and not being disclosed to the American people or to the Congress. Congress has no idea of these working groups, 20, that are ongoing in the Department of Commerce under SPP.gov, headed by Department Secretaries Gutierrez of Commerce, Rice, Secretary of State, and Chertoff of the Homeland Security. And the American people know nothing about it.
And basically, of course, our duly elected representatives will simply be figureheads, you know, to give the American people the idea that we have representative government. But we really don't. If they can do this without the knowledge of our congressmen and without the knowledge of our senators, why, they can do whatever they want to, can't they?
That's exactly right. And the transfer of power will go into the North American Union, and the elite will not suffer. There's also a plan to build a North American Free Trade, a NAFTA highway. This is going to be a new superhighway. It's going to be 4 football fields wide, 5 lanes in each direction, plus rail. It's going to stretch from into Mexico through Laredo, Texas, through the heart of America, parallel to Interstate 35, up through Kansas City, up to Duluth and Minnesota, and then into Canada. And the plan will be, and you can see this on NASCOCorridor.com.
Would you spell that out for our listeners?
Yes. That's NASCO Corridor. That's Nancy Alpha Sam Charlie Oscar Corridor.com. All one word, that NASCO Corridor. The picture there of this highway is shocking, the graphic on the front page. And the plan is that these huge supercontainers, Dr. Stan, that are carrying goods, cheap goods made in China, cheaper than can be made in Mexico, will now be brought in through Mexican ports, through Lorenzo Cardenas down in the Baja. There'll be no union longshoremen there to unload those containers. They'll go in Mexican trains, no United Transportation workers, into Mexican trucks, no Teamsters. And they'll cross the border at Laredo, Texas, in a speed bump. This SPP.gov will have only electronically checked by a sentry system. That's all right there on the SPP.gov website and the NASCOCorridor.com websites. These Mexican trucks will pass into the heart of America, right up to Kansas City. And Kansas City is spending $3 million to build a Mexican customs office on soil that will now be considered sovereign to Mexico in Kansas City. No union workers in the United States involved. And the trucks will not have to go across the Rocky Mountains from Los Angeles or Long Beach, because those union workers are all going to get undercut in this plan to bring in the cheap goods from China through Mexico up the NAFTA highway, undercutting all of our labor force, union force, and to bring them in cheaper into the heart of America to benefit the international corporations.
And then, of course, that'll do away with the longshoremen, too, here on the major ports on the West Coast, won't it?
Yes, because suddenly they'll be confronted with, if they do not break their union and lower their rates, more and more containers will start coming in through additional ports in Mexico. They'll bypass the West Coast virtually altogether. It'll do the same for our truckers. All the truckers will suddenly find that U.S. owners can go buy under NAFTA Mexican trucking companies and operate them as Mexican trucking companies, undercutting the Teamsters with the intent to take all these goods and drive them through the United States. Teamsters will not be able to hold their rates. That's the problem with this wide-open immigration.
And, of course, what this really is to do is put the people who are willing to work for, say, $5 an hour or $7 an hour, into competition with Americans who are getting $15 to $20 an hour plus benefits. You know, in Mexico, they don't get the benefits. In Mexico, they have a few billionaires. They got about, 20 billionaires. They got more billionaires in Mexico than all the rest of South America put together. They've got a very wealthy class, a very small middle class, and most of the people are impoverished. And that is exactly what they intend to do here, unless there are enough Americans who care about preserving our way of life. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Dr. Jerome Corsi, and as we go more and more into this whole incredible plan, it's in place, and for some reason or other, why Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and the other pundits are not telling us about it. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. Jerome Corsi. Actually, the lead article on WorldNetDaily today is one of Dr. Corsi's articles going into the background of what's going on. Do you want to talk a little bit about what's in that the latest article you wrote just today?
Yes, Dr. Stan. I called up after I went to Congress and found out that the congressman knew nothing about what our government was doing in the administrative branch, the executive branch, SPP.gov, basically rewriting laws through the Office of the President and the agencies and the Department of Commerce. I decided that I would call the Department of Commerce. I found the woman who was heading that section, SPP.gov, and she confirmed that there was nowhere published. Congress did not know, nobody really knew, the names of the people from the various agencies in the U.S. government who were on these working group committees. She acknowledged that there was nowhere published the memorandum of understanding that they were coming up with, the new regulations they were writing together with Mexico and Canada. And that, to me, was completely bypassing the oversight function of Congress. These were not being, even the original declaration signed at Waco, Texas on March 23, 2005, was like a press release that created this security and prosperity partnership, SPP. That document, Dr. Stan, was never brought to Congress. It's not a treaty. It's not a law. And the Congress completely missed the significance of it. Now, if the executive branch is going its own way and writing laws, which Congress should do, I mean, this is almost like treason. This is like the government of the United States, through the executive office of the president, creating a new country, a new nation, the North American Union, and not telling Congress about it and not telling the American people about it and violating our Constitution and taking over through the executive branch the function of legislation.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and I think that what your job and, of course, mine is to get this information out to the American people. And, of course, what the average American must understand is that the people who control George Bush is certainly only a figurehead for a very powerful group of men working behind the scenes who have a different worldview. And they don't care what the people want. They don't care what our duly elected representatives want. They let Congress pass all sorts of rules and regulations and laws, as they have for the last almost 40 years dealing with immigration. They just refuse to implement any of those laws. They passed a law here a few years ago to hire 10,000 new border guards, and, of course, they appropriated money for 200 of them. Knowing full well that, of course, nothing would get accomplished, recent Senate legislation, passed legislation to build a 300-mile fence, but it didn't appropriate any money for it. And as Senator Sessions said, Jeff Sessions said in his critique of the Senate legislation that passed, nothing is going to get accomplished. They know nothing will get accomplished. There was part of the legislation said we would actually, carry out and indict employers who are hiring illegal aliens, and make them subject to the federal laws. But he says there's no teeth in the legislation. All of this is simply symbolism over substance, rhetoric over reality. It's an effort to try to get the American people to believe we are really doing something when our leaders have no intention of carrying out the will of the people, because the average American wants to stop illegal immigration, wants to seal our borders, wants to preserve our sovereignty. But the small clique that controls the presidency and the executive branch of government has a totally different agenda, and we'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Corsi was saying he actually contacted the Commerce Department, talked to the woman who was in charge of this whole SPP program. And what did this woman tell you when you were trying to find out, something about the program and who was sitting on all these task forces?
Well, she said that they didn't publish the names because they didn't want them to be bothered by the public in doing their jobs. I thought to myself, were there government officials? They need to be bothered by the public. That's part of the function. I asked her, I said, I'm an American citizen. Could you send me a copy of the working groups and their memorandum of understanding and the various declarations they're issuing? And she sent me back an email and said, no, it had to go through their public relations office, their spokespeople, and she couldn't release it to me. So, when I began to publish this, I began to get calls today and talk to congressmen. And up in the on the Hill today, there are congressmen who are appalled that they knew nothing about this. They're getting calls from their constituents. They're getting emailed the articles that I've written, Dr. Stan, and Human Events Online and WorldNet Daily. And the congressmen and their top aides are at a loss. They've never heard of SPP.gov. They don't know there's 20 working groups that are creating new regulations. And these regulations are extensive. They're taking our air system with our GPS system that controls all aviation over the United States, and they're going to release that. They've already formed an agreement to do it, release it to Mexico and Canada, such that Mexico and Canada would even know where every military airplane was over the United States. Now, I don't think the legislation that created the GPS system ever empowered the Department of Transportation to release that to a foreign nation. But that's what's being happening right now in these working groups within SPP.gov, all without the knowledge of our Congress.
And, of course, what will the impact of this be about the ability of people to go across our borders? I mean, how will this influence people going from Mexico to the United States or the United States to Mexico?
Well, the idea is, Dr. Stan, that since everybody's going to be a North American citizen, the North American Union, you know, anybody in Mexico who wants to migrate to the United States to work or just to live here can do it. They'll have a right, they'll have a North American Union passport, and there'll be nothing to stop them at the border. So if we want to get 20, 30 million coming across into the United States, the impoverished masses of Mexico, we will not have a right to stop them. And that's why I've argued that President Bush has not secured the border, because he's already agreed with Vincente Fox and Canada in this SPP, the Security and Prosperity Partnership, that our border with Mexico and with Canada will be erased.
And I think that is really such an important point for our listeners to understand. The agreement is in place. It has already been agreed to. It is being implemented. They don't want the American people to know, because they know that Americans want to remain Americans. They want to maintain the sovereignty of our nation. They want to maintain our constitutional guarantees of freedom. But the elite group that controls the executive branch of government and our intelligence agencies and works behind the scenes, and of course they interlock with all of these elitist groups, whether it be the Club of Rome or the Bilderbergers or the Trilateral Commission or the Council on Foreign Relations or Skull and Bones, or they all sort of work together in what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, and they have a different agenda. They have a different worldview. And they do not care one iota what the American people think or what, and they don't even care about the Constitution. I would call that treason, wouldn't you?
Yes, I do, Dr. Stan. I think it's time to rewrite the book, None Dare Call It Treason, because I think if you have the executive branch of the government taking an agreement from a summit meeting in Waco, Texas, which was really a press release, and President Bush using that as if it were a treaty or a law to implement it through the Department of Government in SPP.gov, he has no constitutional authorization to do that. And if he does, I'm calling for it to be demonstrated. The congressmen calling me are getting ready to tell SPP.gov to turn over the documents. And I think there could very well be hearings. There could well be a congressional examination into this, because this is a serious breach of our Constitution. And what we're documenting here is this is not a conspiracy theory. This is going on. The website's there, documented. Go look at all the agreements on SPP.gov. That's a Department of Commerce website. It's not any hidden issue. It's just that President Bush does not have the courage to come forward to the United States of America and say, I want to create a new country, and it's going to be called the North American Union.
And, of course, for our listeners out here, our guest is Dr. Jerome Corsi. It's Dr. Jerome Corsi. You can get his articles off of World Affairs WorldNet.com. Go to WorldNetDaily.com. Get that information. Call your congressman. Call your senator and ask them, are they part of this movement to destroy the sovereignty of America? And if they're not, send them those articles. Tell them where to go to get the information. Keep up a barrage. This is a great issue. We've got to get the American people informed, because there are traitors working at the highest levels of government. Thank you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Dr. Jerome Corsi. We're talking about this move, the security and the prosperity program, security and prosperity program, SPP program, and you can go to their website. What are those websites again, Dr. Corsi, where people can get the information?
If you go to the website spp.gov, that's the Department of Commerce website, you're going to see the working groups that are putting in place the Security and Prosperity Partnership that President Bush signed in Waco, Texas, with Vincente Fox and with Canada on March 23, 2005, never ratified by Congress, never a treaty, never a law. If you go to NASCO Corridor, N-A-S-C-O, Nancy, Alpha, Sam, Charlie, Oscar, Corridor, all one word, .com, you're going to see this NAFTA highway, 4 football fields wide of new interstate being built parallel to Interstate 35 that's going to allow containers from China to come up through Mexican ports, non-union workers, into Mexican trucks carried into the heart of America with the only custom stop at Kansas City, and that'll be a Mexican custom stop. No union workers in the United States involved in the whole process, and this will benefit only international capital. The middle class of the United States will suffer. The people listening, Dr. Stan, better get ready to have a North American Union passport, not an American passport, and get rid of the dollars, because these elitists want to create a new currency. It'll be called the Amero, the A-M-E-R-O, and we'll have the Amero just like the European Union has the Euro. And this is coming in 2010. Council on Foreign Relations blueprint document, which I link to in my articles on humaneventsonline.com and worldnetdaily.com, you read that, and it will show you that by 2010, the Security and Prosperity Partnership is going to transform into this new government, the North American Union.
Now, of course, this is actually published on the Council on Foreign Relations website, isn't it?
Oh, yes, all this is published. That document, which came out in May 2005, Building a North American Community, is linked to my articles, and it's right there on the Council on Foreign Relations. You can download it free. You don't have to pay for it. You just download it free and read it. It's about a 100-page book, and it outlines how the North American Union is going to have a court. It's going to have its own parliamentary group. It's going to have a commission that acts as president and commission, executive. It will have a North American Union customs officials, not...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. Jerome Corsi, and we're talking about the North American community. There's a book out. I've got a copy of it put out under the auspices of the Council on Foreign Relations entitled Building a North American Community. You must understand that these elitists, and they really are elitists, within this group, people of great power and influence, have a different worldview. Many of them are Rhodes Scholars, because, of course, this whole movement began with Rhodes, Cecil Rhodes, back in 1891. And, of course, the Council on Foreign Relations is simply a front group for the secret society that Cecil Rhodes Act created, and if you doubt that, you need to read the book by Professor Carol Quigley, who is Bill Clinton's mentor, a book that's been suppressed for many years, but we do have it, called Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. On pages 951 and 52, it tells you about the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations. So if you really want to understand what's going on, why it's the material is all there, this isn't a conspiracy, it's blatant. The trouble is, the average American just doesn't ever hear about it. Now, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you're out there in the listening audience and you'd like to talk to Dr. Corsi, if you have a question or comment, this is so unbelievable. I think the average American says, this really can't be true. I mean, after all, if it was true, everybody would be up in arms to destroy America. People in the executive branch of government and these elitist organizations wanted to change our society and do away with our Constitution and do away with our freedom and give us the same freedom that they have in Mexico and the same standard of living. And yet this is exactly what happens. What happens when you tell the average individual or you go onto a radio program and tell the people about it?
Well, you're right, Dr. Stan. At first, people just can't believe it. They're in shock. And then when they go read the websites, they see the extensive work that's been done by the executive branch of the government, the U.S. government, Canada, and Mexico. They're forced to see that it's true. This SPP.gov is very comprehensive. It lists these 20 working groups and everything from e-commerce through trade, through travel, through passports. You got working groups rewriting the laws. And none of this is being brought forward to Congress. I went to Congress. I spent time in congressional offices. The congressmen and their chief staff don't know about this. You call up your congressman, they're unlikely to even know what you're talking about. You'll have to say, go to SPP.gov and educate them. Yet they're supposed to have an oversight function. They're supposed to have been regulating this, to have passed the laws. You've got a renegade executive branch out there making up their own rules without coming to Congress. That's completely outside the Constitution, Dr. Stan.
And, of course, so much of what's going on today as far as the immigration battle is simply symbolism over substance. I mean, the president is sending 6,000 National Guardsmen to the southern border, but they won't be armed. They won't be involved in apprehending the illegal immigrants who are streaming across the border. They certainly won't be doing anything at all other than advising the Immigration and Naturalization Service. Now, what can the National Guard do to advise people who spent full time, tracking down illegal immigrants? Absolutely nothing. But you have to convince the American people that you're doing something when you're really not trying to do anything. I think that is what's so very important about what's going on today, and certainly the president will tell you why. Of course, we want everybody to speak English. Everybody, all illegal immigrants must learn English. And if you don't believe that the president really believes that, you go to his website where you'll find that you can actually get all of the president's speeches in both English and in Spanish.
That's right. There's a whole section of the White House website which is in Spanish. The White House website is also a Spanish website. I mean, it's ridiculous. As you say, the president goes down and sits in a dune buggy at the border and has a photo opportunity, while that same day, thousands of illegal immigrants cross at night, and no one stops them. When we do stop them, Dr. Stan, these millions coming across the border, we don't do anything about it. We release them. We give them a notice to show up at the deportation hearing. And, of course, 90% never show up. I can never figure out why 10% even do. It's ridiculous. It's a joke.
They call it catch and release. Actually, all of the Mexican people are taken back across the border so they can try again. That old adage, if first you don't succeed, try and try and try again. So many of them are brought across the border by coyotes. We don't prosecute the coyotes when we catch them. Well, we just let them go back again. After all, the whole idea is it's a game. Keep catch and release. And then, of course, with the foreign immigrants, why, those are the ones who are certainly told to come back for the deportation hearings, and 90% of them don't come back. The excuse that's given is, well, we just don't have any place to put them. I mean, shucks, we don't have any beds in the jail, so we can't have them sleeping on the floor. Actually, they gave, the money was appropriated 10 or 15 years ago to build the detainment camps. Or internment camps, and the government refused to build them. And this is the problem that we have. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment about the things we're talking about, I think this is such an important issue. The American people must understand that the sovereignty of America is being destroyed systematically by our leaders, and the freedom that we've known here in America will soon become simply a remembrance of things past. Well, certainly, is there any organized opposition to what's going on other than your effort and my effort and the efforts of just a small number of people who are aware of what's going on?
No, I think Dr. Stan, it's just beginning because people are completely unaware that this, George Bush is not securing the borders because he doesn't want to. He's agreed not to. When he signed this Security and Prosperity Partnership Agreement in March 2005 in Waco, Texas, he agreed with Vincente Fox that we were going to erase the border with Mexico and with Canada, and that there was going to be open migration. Anybody from Mexico who wanted to come here, live here, work here, use our social benefits, could. There's not going to, the only border we're going to protect under this new North American Union is the border around North America, around Canada, around the United States, and around Mexico. Between Canada, the United States, and Mexico, there's going to be free movement of people, trade, and capital. And that's to the detriment of the middle class. It's to the detriment of America. And the idea is to redistribute our wealth into the impoverished masses of Mexico. Rather than having Mexico develop its own country and take care of its own corruption and its drug problems, drug cartels, we're going to allow those to become openly imported into the United States, as they already are. It's a disgrace. We wrote the book Minutemen. When I and Jim Gilchrist wrote it, we talked to the FBI. The FBI said this MS-13 criminal gang from El Salvador is now in 3,000 American communities.
They have over 50,000 members. These are the fellows who are heavily tattooed, and in many of the branches you have to kill somebody before you can get into it. They are totally vicious. In fact, recently CBS did a program on it. Some young woman came on the program who had been part of this gang and the MS-30 gang, and shortly after she appeared on CBS, they killed her.
Right, MS-13.
MS-13, right.
They deal drugs, and they steal cars, and they're in an international criminal gang. They're out of El Salvador. They work in Mexico. They're in 3,000 American communities. You know, Dr. Stan, there are 3,000 Mexican nationals who have come into the United States and killed Americans and fled back into Mexico, and Mexico will not deport them because they consider our death penalty cruel and unusual punishment. Of course, it's not cruel and unusual for Mexico to allow those criminals to come to the United States and kill Americans.
All right, well, let's talk to Neil, who's in San Diego and has a question for Dr. Corsi. Neil, are you there?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Dr. Monteith. And hello, Mr. Corsi, or Dr. Corsi.
Yes, hi. Hi, Neil.
Yes.
Just go ahead and speak a little louder, will you, please?
Okay. I'm listening on the shortwave, and so my reception isn't the best. And I tuned in the program when it was already in progress. So I'm wondering, Dr. Corsi, I believe I heard you to say that you had articles on WorldNet Daily. Is that correct?
Yes, and on humaneventsonline.com.
In fact, the lead article today on WorldNet Daily is Dr. Corsi's article.
Okay, very good. I'd like to resource that. And because I am listening on the shortwave, was that website you referenced P as in Paul, P as in Paul.gov, or was it SP as in Paul, B as in boy.gov?
It's SamPeterPeter.gov.
Okay, very good.
And I've actually been there, Neil, and it's just exactly as Dr. Corsi says.
Okay, well, I'm very disturbed over this whole issue, but I'd like to share something with you and your audience about a matter that generally is not being addressed. And I learned of this specifically because I'm an employee of the Department of Motor Vehicles for the state of California. And what I have been seeing is something that needs to be taken care of in terms of this matter of people being born in our country of foreign citizens. And what's happening right now is we are having folk come into the Department of Motor Vehicles to either, well, more typically to get an ID card, but these folk are very, how do I say this, some are young adults. The oldest person that I had in my particular office was 19 years of age, could not speak a lick of English. Essentially what's happened is people have come into our country, have been born here, they get a birth certificate, they return to Mexico, and now they are returning to the United States to claim their American citizenship. And this is happening on a regular basis. I couldn't tell you what the numbers are, but it's a hidden matter that nobody is addressing or has any knowledge of. It's not that they are sneaking across the border, they are coming across the border, and no one has any idea how many folk currently residing in Mexico are waiting to return. And I think this subject needs to be taken care of by Congress, because potentially there could be several million people in Mexico right now just biding their time to walk across the border and say, I'm an American citizen. I was born 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15, whatever the number may be. And it is happening.
And, of course, then they become eligible for all of our wonderful welfare benefits.
Exactly.
And I think that people really must understand that, you know, we probably do not have the 12 million immigrants that we're being told, illegal immigrants. Certainly, Bear Stearns has said that we have 20 million. I know people from government have told my friends that there are 20 million. And Dr. Corsi, how many do you think are there?
In the book I wrote with Jim Gilchrist, Minuteman, we talked to the experts, we calculated, we think there's 30 million illegal immigrants in the United States right now.
And this book of yours, Dr. Corsi, that you've just mentioned, is that being sent to our Congress people?
Well, I'm sure people are going to buy it and send it to them. I'm positive it will be. That happened with previous books I've written.
Mm-hmm.
It's Minuteman, The Battle to Secure America's Borders. You can see it in Amazon.com in pre-sales right now. Just search by name, Corsi.
Okay.
And the book is going to be out in July. Now, we researched this. What you talked about is the 14th Amendment issue. And the 14th Amendment issue was not written to say that anybody born here was a U.S. citizen by definition. It's specifically, the Supreme Court has excluded the children born to diplomats because their parents are under the jurisdiction of foreign laws. Now, as long as these Mexican nationals remain loyal to Mexico and Mexican citizens, their children born here should not be birthright citizens. It's been a liberal interpretation, and over time, the American people have just forgotten that the 14th Amendment was never written to include this purpose.
Well, we just
have the babies are being born under this definition.
Yes, and just as a mention, we had a gentleman just recently returned to Congress, Brian Bilbray, who I believe attempted in his first term in Congress, or he attempted to, I believe, address this matter of the birth problem through legislation and got nowhere.
Yeah, well, I think we have to let the members of Congress know that we are mad and we're angry and that they're not going to get reelected unless they do the right sort of thing. Hey, thanks, Neil. We got a couple of other
calls. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. And then let's go to Mike calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi, Stan. Back to the part of the conversation 15, 20 minutes ago about the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America
right.
being in violation of the U.S. Constitution. I would agree that something really insidious and underhanded is being done, but the way they may get around the Constitution would be that this might be a primarily economic thrust to merge. I just want to ask your guest what he thinks about this. That it's an economic arena that all this is being done in, instead of a political arena or a necessarily constitutional arena. And so it's much more insidious. All this can be done probably legally and without violating the Constitution if this is, we're going into an economic intertwining with Mexico and Canada.
But it's more than just economics, isn't it, Dr. Corsi?
Well, if you take a look at these working groups, what they're doing is they're rewriting laws through the executive branch. I'll just give you one example. There's a working group on temporary permits to enter the United States for professionals. And that working group says explicitly on the SPP.gov website that they've rewritten the NAFTA appendix on professional workers to allow free flow of professionals or more flow of professionals. They don't show you the memorandum of understanding they've reached, and they wouldn't release it to me. Now, if that's the case, the executive branch does not have the right to rewrite a treaty. They don't have a right to redefine a law. That's taking on legislation. As such, they are violating the Constitution. Also, in the works, if you look at the Council on Foreign Relations documents and the blueprints here, the plan is to, by 2010, have these working groups do all the regulations, all the structures, and they will involve a court, they'll involve a parliamentary group and an executive group, and it will be defined, they may say, yes, well, this is predominantly for trade, but then any matter that relates to trade is in the jurisdiction of that court, that parliament, and that chief executive. So almost anything could be defined as in there. I mean, If you take a look at what Europe has done, the European Union government is extending its powers every day. And I'm not going to trust Mexico or Canada to defend our civil liberties. In Mexico and Canada, a radio show like Dr. Stan's might just be shut down. Mm-hmm. And in Canada, too.
And so I think that, Mike, that this is a definite effort to end sovereignty, to end freedom as we know it.
For sure.
And I think it's time that the American people knew. We've got to start calling our congressmen and senators and let them know. Believe me, once the American people realize what they're up to, I hope that this may be, well be a winning issue, that we're going to be able to begin to take America back. And point out the fact that there really are secret organizations out there that have a secret agenda, and that secret agenda is to destroy America as we know it. Hey, thanks very much for calling, Mike. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. We've got Jack hanging on the line. Jack, did you have a question on the subject for this evening?
Yeah, I wanted to ask the guest if he's familiar with the Federalist Papers.
What does that have to do with this?
Well, the fundamental doctrine of clean hands. I wanted to ask him if those who cleverly crafted this agreement were in fact Bar Esquire attorneys.
That's okay, fine. Thank you so much. Do you know anything at all about that issue?
Yes, well, they don't have the clean hands in that sense, in that the structure here is one where you could very easily argue self-interested parties have formed and directed this SPP partnership to come into being. If you take a look at the Council on Foreign Relations Task Force Group. Got people who have been involved in this for 20 years or longer. I've got people in there who have been very politically involved, pushing a socialist agenda. People like Robert Pastor, professor at American University. You do not have people in here who are acting in any sense in an impartial way. You've got people who are acting from a very politically partial way, and their objective and goal is to reduce the sovereignty of the United States, to reduce our power, and to create a new government that supersedes the United States. And it's being done in a way by our executive branch that Congress is not being told and the American people are not being told. There's no speech by the President Bush coming forward saying, my real goal is to create a North American Union, and if he had done that in 2004, he would not have carried a single red state.
And if he'd said, we want to do away with America's sovereignty and merge America with the United, with Mexico and Canada, imagine the response would be from the people. They don't want that. But you see, the elite really don't care what the people want.
Well, that's right, Dr. Stan. And the people in Canada and Mexico are not being told either, because the vast majority of people in Canada want to be Canadians, and it's the same in Mexico. But yet the elite don't care. They're going to pursue their own agenda and create a North American Union, regardless of what the people think. And the people aren't being told.
And I think that's really so what's important. Well, our guest today has been Dr. Jack Corsi, Dr. Jerome Corsi. And, of course, you can find his articles on certain world affairs brief.
On humanevents.online.com and on WorldNetDaily.
WorldNetDaily. So go there, get the information, and, of course, pull down those websites that Dr. Corsi, once again, what those websites are.
SPP, that's sampeterpeter.com. That's the Department of Commerce website. And NASCOCorridor.com. That's Nancy, Alpha, Sam, Charlie, Oscar, NASCO Corridor, all one word, .com.
All right, fine. Well, thank you so very much. It's been a real pleasure to have you. We'll look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thanks, Dr. Stan. Always an honor to be with you. Thank
all
you
right.
very much.
All right, fine. Well, that was Dr. Jerome Corsi, and we're talking about certainly the plan to destroy America as we know it. And, of course, the question is, who's really behind this? Well, you need to get the book, Importing Revolution. It will tell you this is all being funded by the Ford Foundation. And that, of course, if you actually get the book, Foundations, Their Power and Influence, which was written in 1958, you'll find that the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, and the Carnegie Foundation and many of the other foundations have been funding subversion in the United States for three quarters of a century. That the books, again, Foundations, Their Power and Influence, which I consider one of the five most important books in my library, and then Importing Revolution. Both of those books will give you an insight into who is funding this and why. You have an elite group who's funded subversive activities for many years, first of all, so they have an enemy to rally the people behind the government, and secondly, because the subversive Marxist and communist organizations always want to concentrate more power with government. And that's exactly what the ruling financial elite want. They want to centralize power with government because they have the ability to buy and sell our politicians. And that's why in Washington, D.C. today, we have some of the finest politicians that, indeed, money can buy. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, let me suggest you get it. We have a four-tape set on immigration, and we'll be putting together a series of my interviews with Dr. Jerome Corsi, and, of course, we have some interviews with Robert Rector of the Heritage Foundation. Our next guest is going to be Jim Simquist, who is actually a co-founder of the Minuteman Organization, along with Jim Gilchrist. And if you'd like to get our four-tape set on immigration, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we have a book called Fighting Immigration Anarchy. We recommend it to you. Fighting Immigration Anarchy, we have a DVD, Conquest of Aztlan, put out by our friend Glenn Spencer. And you'll hear many of the radicals talking about how they're going to take over this country, and you white people better get ready to go back to Europe and understand that it's all to get us angry at the Mexicans and get the Mexicans and Hispanics angry at us. And out of the conflict will come the rule by the elite. They're playing one group against the other. The Mexicans are pawns in this game, as are we. So if you'd like to get the material we talked about to begin to understand what's really going on behind the scenes, again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Our four tape set on immigration, our DVD, The Conquest of Aztlan, the book Fighting Immigration Anarchy, and so much more is available at Radio Liberty. Go to our website, radioliberty.com. Tell others about our programs. And then, of course, pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and for our ministers. But please remember to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision, and for our protection. And we hope many of you will decide to join the Radio Liberty family, because we're already supported only by people out here who believe in what we're doing and, of course, want to try to save America. And so until we're together again, may the Lord be with you. Stand back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And we have to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Michelle Tatro, and we're going to be talking about spy chips. And Sydney, I never forget an advertisement that was on television a couple of years ago. It showed a fellow in a grocery store, and he was wearing a big, heavy overcoat. He'd walk up and down the aisles, and he'd look around to make sure nobody was watching, and then he'd stuff things off the aisles, off the counters and off the shelves into the pockets on the inside of the big coat he was wearing. And then as he began to leave the store without going through the check stand, a man runs up to him and says, "Sir, sir." And he looks back almost frightened, and the clerk is saying, "Here, sir, here's your receipt." Because, of course, everything he'd gotten had been marked, and they were able, of course, with their meters, to know everything he'd taken, and he smiled and thanked the man for his receipt. That is the world we are moving towards, a world where you will never buy nor sell unless you wear the mark of the beast or to be known by the number of his name. And a lot of this is being coordinated by something called RFID, radio frequency identification. They're putting these onto your jeans. Levi jeans are going to have them now. They were just talking today about how they're increasingly in the stores. And, that some people are frightened of this. But, really, it's so beneficial. It's so great to have these RFID, these radio frequency identifying devices, so that they can track what people are buying and what people are interested in. And then, of course, they can restock the shelves. And, well, Michelle, of course, I think like most of us, was simply a mother, a child in school, and her child comes home with a little card around his neck. I'm going to let you take the story from there, Michelle.
Certainly. It started about a year ago, January of 2005. Our elementary school, then eighth grade daughter, came home from school. I picked her up, and she got in the car very angry and turned around and shut the door and then turned around and shoved a badge out to me and said, "Look at this. I'm a grocery item. I'm a piece of meat. I'm an orange." And at first I didn't understand what she was talking about, but then she had this badge in her hand. It was hung around her neck on a lanyard. And at first I just thought it was a school badge. The school had been talking about possibly instituting a badge system. And then the next day she came home announcing that there was something in this badge that allowed them to track her. And that kind of raised the hairs on the back of my neck, and I said, "What do you mean, track you?" And she said she noticed that there were these boxes installed above the classroom doors and even above the bathroom door, and that whenever she walked underneath it, it read her badge. There was a lump on the back of the badge, and that's when we were beginning to realize that there was something in there. And so my husband and I told her that she and the student body president needed to approach the principal and let him know that the students didn't like this and that they should make their, sentiments known that they didn't like this tracking. All the while, my husband and I were standing back thinking, I think we're going to have to get involved with this. So a couple days later, we accepted an invitation from another couple who had already prearranged an appointment with the principal to go in and talk.
You hold that thought there. We're going to be back in just a few minutes with Michelle Tatro talking about how they're starting this in schools all across America, tracking our children. All right, Michelle, go ahead, pick up the story.
Thank you. We attended a meeting with the principal, vice principal, the president of this company, the school computer teacher, and the other parents. And for several hours, we discussed what was in these badges, what RFID was, and the purpose that the school had behind this. And the other parents decided at that point to notify the principal in person that they weren't going to allow their child to be tracked. And the principal got very upset and said there was going to be, quote, big problems. Well, my husband and I decided beforehand that we were going to go home and investigate what this was on the Internet before we made our intentions known. And when we got home, we started looking around on the Internet as to what RFID was, because we didn't know. We're not in the technology field.
You didn't know what a spy chip was then?
At that time, we had no clue.
You weren't listening to Radio Liberty.
We were not.
Programs on. Go right ahead.
And so when we got on the Internet, started poking around and trying to learn what this was, literally we were sickened when we realized that it was a tracking device, and that not only could the school track her, but most disturbingly is that somebody off campus could track our child while she was on school grounds. And that's when we really amped up our efforts at the school, and several other parents in the community did join us, and eventually through media interviews, and we even picketed. The school held a special school board meeting, and the technology company who supplied this decided that it was in their best interest, because the media reports were not favorable, that they should pull out.
Well, what was the justification for wanting to track all the children?
Well, it would flip-flop. At first, they were trying to sell it as an attendance program. And then they had to admit that they'd never lost any attendance money based on inaccurate attendance taking. And then they wanted to say, oh, it was a safety program. And we pointed out the flaws in their safety program, and they chose to ignore them. They didn't believe that people could track the children as well as they could track the children. But our research showed that a small handheld device that could be built or bought off the Internet for under $500 could indeed pick up a signal from a chip worn around a child's neck.
How far away could they pick it up?
It does vary by the strength of the antenna and whether it was a passive device, which just has an antenna, or whether it was an active device and had a battery, which ours were passive devices. But it could be anywhere from a few inches to some estimates by the State Department as far as 30 feet away.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment with Michelle Tatro. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Michelle Tatro, and we're talking about the spy chips that were actually put into a identification badge that her daughter was required to wear. And of course, when they went to the principal, he said if they objected, there were going to be a lot of problems. But Michelle and her husband and certain of the other families went before the school board, and well, the company that was supplying these had all sorts of excuses, but none of them held any water. And eventually, because they were getting such media coverage, why, they sort of backed away from it. Well, have they been doing this in other areas as well?
We have unsubstantiated reports that they appeared at a Texas school administrator's conference. And I was even asked by a reporter for a large paper to confirm if they had put it in another school in March, and I can't confirm because I don't have conversations with the company.
Now, what do you think the real reason behind this is? Is it just to make money? Why would they want to be, monitoring your daughter when she goes to the bathroom?
They said it was to possibly solve the question of who was committing vandalism acts in the bathroom. Which we pointed out, it would only prove the fact that she went in the bathroom. It didn't prove that she did anything in there that was vandalizing. So I really think that the whole thing boiled down to money. There seems to be a bit of a conflict of interest in the small town in between the developers who work at a local high school, or the local high school in town, and one of them is on the elementary technology board. And the fact that money was paid to the school to do this and then promised more money back to the school for every unit sold after the successful test. I really think it all boils down to money.
And so you think that they just wanted to sell this the system to the schools. But it sounds to me like they were actually paying the school. In other words, the school was sort of a trial to see how it would go over.
That's how it was portrayed, that they gave the school $2,500 to test this system and to make reports back to the company, And then with the successful test data, they'd hope to market it to other schools, and then they promised the school they would give them a kickback for each and every unit sold beyond the test program.
Well, that was a pretty good deal for the... Now, who was going to get that money? Was that going to be the school board? Was that going to be the principal?
We never got a definitive answer, but it was assumed or insinuated that it would be for the good of the school.
Well, what did the school board say? Did they know anything about this program, or were they been advised of it?
They definitely did, and despite our pleas to... please understand the technology as it really was and not look at dollar figures, they dug their heels in and said the testing would continue.
And then, of course, what happened? How did you finally able to get the school board to back down?
The school board didn't back down. The company finally pulled out of the school, citing unfavorable media. Because by the time the school board said, no, the test is going to continue, we had started researching on the internet for people who might help us, such as privacy and technology experts. We did call the ACLU of Northern California, and soon people started coming to our aid and helping us with writing letters to the school district, and then the media started covering it as this is not a good thing, you really shouldn't be doing this, and then the company, maybe to save face, the school board, but the company is the one that pulled out of the contract.
Well, I think it's really very interesting that they keep pushing all the time to see how far they can get. They want to put these things into jeans. I just read a note today that Levi Jeans is going to start putting these spy chips into their jeans. And certainly Walmart wants to use this on a lot of their products. They always have a good explanation as to why, but you see, once you buy something that has a spy chip in it, then if you go past a meter, they can identify you. And you say, well, what's to be concerned about as long as I haven't done anything wrong? And people don't understand. This is what you do in a totalitarian society. You want to track everybody and everything. That's why so many people are concerned to know that the army, our own army, is tracking every citizen in this country, collecting dossiers on every citizen. And then, of course, how much more easy it'll be when you have things with spy chips in them. And then wherever you go, there'll be a monitor, and they'll know where you are. And the next thing, you'll know what you're thinking and what you're saying and everything about you. These
Absolutely.
Are the earmarks of a totalitarian society. Well, were a lot of the other parents really upset about this, as upset as you were?
They were, and they helped us in pressuring the school to have it come out of the school. And from there, though, my husband and I vowed that we would continue on with the fight, because even though we were happy that we helped influence the decision to get it out of the school, we knew that wasn't the end of it, because it would crop up in somebody else's school or some other neighborhood or some other form. And thinking ahead that our children as adults would be subjected to this, or even our grandchildren, really, really scared us.
All right, and Gerson, you've got into this whole thing of spy chips. Have you read the books entitled Spy Chips?
I've read both of the books. I've read Spy Chips, How Major Corporations and Government Plan to Track Your Every Move with RFID by Catherine Albrecht and Liz McIntyre.
Right.
And then just recently they've come out with a second edition, the so-called Christian edition, which is called The Spy Chips Threat, Why Christians Should Resist RFID and Electronic Surveillance. And they're both excellent books, and they really do paint a true picture as to what's going on. They're almost written as a conversation between friends, but it's backed up with the documentation of where this information is found. It's not opinion. It's backed up as fact, as almost written like a school paper.
Well, now, what can you tell us about the spy chips? What have you found about them, about their use, and about their danger?
The fact that no one would know that their chip has been read is extremely disturbing. I could have my purse securely in my possession, and my personal information on my driver's license could be read without my knowledge anywhere I go, and I travel. And that is not something that you would share with strangers. You would want to keep that information private. The fact that even if you gave that information to somebody for them to, document something that somebody could eavesdrop and grab that information. So maybe I traveled outside the country. Somebody could also eavesdrop that if it was in my passport, which it has plans of coming in it. The fact that any information could be put on the RFID chip because it would hold much more than a barcode. It could have biometric information such as your facial features, and that could also be taken without your knowledge. And the fact that there's no way to track who grabbed that information. So unlike following a computer trail, you can't see who's hacked into the information. It's gone. It's a radio wave. There's no way of knowing who got it.
I know. Aren't they talking about putting these things into our passports and our driver's licenses?
The State Department had plans to go full force into the passports, and our FUS, if you will, and other groups like the business travelers groups and, of course, other civil liberty groups has got the State Department to reconsider the ideas that they would put them in without any protection. But the protection is minuscule because it basically amounts to a shielding device. But again, you open up the passport, somebody could eavesdrop and grab that information. And the California Senate bill that I've been working with is called Senate Bill 768, and it's authored by Senator Joe Simidian out of the Simi Valley. And we address the fact that because this technology is subject to such concerns, we think that in your driver's license or your California ID card or your K through 12 school card or your library card or your government benefits card such as food stamps or medical care, that this type of technology should not be included because it's not secure. It's subject to hacking and cloning, and that is what we've been trying to effect on the state level, is to ask for this timeout in this bill and for other uses that are currently ongoing, such as people getting into workplaces, that there needs to be precautions in place to ensure that nobody's tag could be scanned or cloned. Up until then, this wasn't addressed in any form of legislation in the state of California.
Well, let's hope and pray that you're able to get that thing through. And, of course, you know, to a lot of people, they don't see anything wrong with it. They trust the government, but they've forgotten what Thomas Jefferson said. In matters of politics, speak not to me of confidence in men, but bind them down for mischief with the chains of the Constitution. Our government was based upon mistrust of government, knowing full well that when the government fears the people, there's freedom, but when the people feel the government and is subservient to the government, then there is tyranny. And I think it was John Adams who said that every man can become a tyrant.
Yeah.
And of course, this has been the way it is down throughout all history, when officials become tyrannical, and so it's so important that we not be subjected to them. That is the very essence of what freedom was about. Liberty and limited government were synonymous.
Yes.
And tyranny and total government were synonymous. And there are people who have a different worldview than I think Michelle and I do. And they want to regulate and watch and monitor everything we do. And they want to know when you go to the library and when you come to the school and when you leave the school and when you go to the bathroom and who you're in contact with. They want to monitor every aspect of your life. These are not people like you and I, but there are people like that. Their ultimate goal is control. So I think this is such an important subject. And if you have a question or comment for Michelle, because she's on the front lines of the battle, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We do carry the book Spy Chips. We think it's an important book, available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Because America truly is under attack today. Well, Michelle, are many of the people in your community as concerned as you are? Is it simply you and your husband have taken this on as a almost like a crusade?
Well, I have the good fortune to be self-employed, and so I can control my schedule, my work schedule. So I have been able to adjust it so I can fight this with my husband's support. But he doesn't have control of his work schedule. So I've been working with Senator Simbidian and the ACLU and Eagle Forum of California, just to name a few of the groups, to support this legislation. We've been lobbying our elected officials, and so far the response has been pretty good, but I think what needs to happen is people need to let their elected officials know that they don't support monitoring by the government or anybody with such technology in their IDs. And they need to contact their elected officials and let them know that they want them to support Senate Bill 768.
That's Senate Bill 768?
Yes, Senate Bill 768. And a really easy way to let your officials know this is to actually log on to the ACLU website, www.aclunc.org. And there you're going to see a picture of a woman holding up her hands with an RFID chip on it, and it says, "Don't chip away my rights." If you click on that, it's going to bring you to a section where you can actually click on to contact your legislator. You can fill in your zip code, and it automatically will send your letter that you can either craft or you can follow a text, and it will be sent to your elected official, Assembly and Senate, saying that you want them to support Senate Bill 768.
Well, it's a strange thing when we find the ACLU and Eagle Forum both on the same side, but I think on this issue, take your allies where you can get them. And Eagle Forum is certainly headed by our good friend Phyllis Schlafly.
Yes.
Arch right-wing conservative, and the ACLU on the opposite end of the political spectrum, and yet both are concerned about this. This real attack on freedom, and this is really what it's all about. So, in this instance, why I think fine. I wish that everybody was speaking out. I wish that the churches were speaking out on this. I don't know why they're not. I mean, if they have ever read the scriptures and they know that there will come a time when you'll neither be able to buy nor sell, lest you wear the mark of the beast and be known by the number of his name, which is 666. And you see these things coming to pass, and people just have their head, buried in the clouds, or, they worship the ground their head's buried in. They have to realize that these things are not imaginary. This is planned, this is programmed, and they take it step by step by step. And certainly the company would back away under pressure, but they'll be back again under one means or another, I'm sure.
That's why we felt the need that we really had to get legislation enacted that would prevent this, because up until now there is no law saying they can't. So they have the right to profit and sell a product that is harmful until it is enacted that they can't. And so our first step is to fight it on the state level. And then we do intend to continue on to pressure and make change on the national level. But we had to start somewhere, and we chose the state level.
Well, I'm certainly glad you did. Now, what sort of response are you getting from the other members of the Senate there? Hold that. We'll be back in just a moment with Ms. Altatro.
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Michelle Tatro. We're talking about spy chips. We're talking about the program where all the children in their school were to wear a little tag around their neck that had a spy chip in it. And, of course, they had all sorts of excuses for it. But, of course, when the pressure came from the parents, why, they backed away. Now, Michelle is working then on a Senate bill, 168, to try to outlaw these things. Now, what sort of response are you getting from the other senators?
If I could, the correction is it's Senate Bill 768.
Oh, 768. Okay, thank you. 768. Go ahead.
When we started last year in the Senate, we got wonderful bipartisan support. But as we moved on to the Assembly side, it doesn't seem that we're getting the Republican support. It's not as overwhelming. It's baffling to me why. We're hearing them saying that it's bad for business. And Senator Simbidian was awarded just the year before we started out with this bill an award from, I believe it was the American Electronics Association, in his pro-business technology stance. And he certainly knows that his constituents depend on that, that their livelihood is in the technology field. And I don't really think he's trying to hurt any of them, and he understands the language of this bill. We've worked very hard on it, that it's not anti-business, but it is pro-privacy. And I don't know where this idea has come up other than the fact that big businesses have put together lobby efforts and are trying to sell it as a anti-business bill.
Certainly, I agree that this is not anti-business. It is a pro-privacy issue. Kurt calling in Santa Cruz. How are you doing?
Fine, fine. I am privy to, you know, this is an area of Silicon Valley. We have a lot of pretty incredible scientists in this area.
Yes.
And I was given some information from one of them, who was fairly high up in the Silicon Valley, in one of the Silicon Valley companies, that all the new cell phones have chips in them. All the new cell phones, wherever you go, they know, you know, unless you leave your cell phone home. And with some of the old ones don't have them. Some of the older ones you can shut them off. But from what I understand, the new ones, wherever you go, they know you're there.
All right. Will that be satellite tracking? Is this an RFID chip, or is this a different type of a chip?
I'm not technologically that savvy, but
I know
there's something in the phone.
I know that they can basically track you if you have your phone on, and maybe they can even track you if you had your phone off. I don't know if that's RFID or maybe a different type of technology, certainly.
Yeah, I don't know the type of technology, but it used to be that when you were making a phone call, they could track you. Now they can track you at all times.
Yeah, well, of course, I think that we're going towards a surveillance society. I think there's no question at all about it. And, you know, it'll be like that program, that movie, The Enemy of the State. And don't think that's so far away from being true. Anything else you want to say, Kurt?
I guess Pogo was right.
Do I have any comment at all, Michelle?
I think that Kurt is on the right track in being aware of what is happening in our society, and then I would challenge him to investigate that and get involved if he sees that it's something that is not right. It came to our door, and once we investigated it, we realized it's something that we have to fight, because if we ignore it, it won't go away.
You're absolutely right, and of course the thing is, a few people can turn this thing back. What we need, of course, is to have people see this as part of a much bigger picture. And it is all about tracking and monitoring and controlling everyone at all times. Kurt, anything else before we...
Yeah, just this is a comment it's similar but different. Someone who's moving back in the area told me the other day that in order to sign up her student in kindergarten, this is in Aptos, in order to sign her kid up in kindergarten, she had to have an interview with the school, a public school, but she had to have an interview with the school and had to fly, moving into the area, had to fly into the area to have an appointment with the school just to sign up her kid in a public school.
Well, it's lots of things are changing.
Arrogance.
Absolutely. Well, wasn't it what it, that Cicero said, the arrogance of officialdom should be tempered?
Yes.
God bless. Thanks so much, Kurt. Bye-bye. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. Our guest this evening, Michelle Tatro. We're talking about spy chips. They want to put them in the cards, but, you know, it's not going to be long before they put them in everybody. Did you know, for instance, there's legislation at the national level where every animal, every farm animal in the United States is going to have a chip in it? Yes, one of my friends called me, in fact, John Leffler, who does a program with us every Wednesday, and he was saying that he has a flock of geese. It'll cost him $500 for the chips and another $500 for the monitor, so that they can keep track of their all their geese for the government. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Michelle Tatro. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And or 464-8295. We're talking about spy chips. Michelle, do you have a web page or anything you'd like to get out?
I personally don't have a web page, but I would refer you to the Spy Chips web page, www.spychips.com. From there, you can get newsletters about the latest breaking news in regards to RFID. For instance, the Levi's incident that just came out, that Levi's admitted they were putting RFID in some jeans, despite a call from some 40 civil liberties groups nationwide that companies not do this. And I think by educating yourself through websites like this or doing Google searches on the internet to find out what it is, you can not support companies such as Levi's or other companies who use this, and maybe write them a letter and tell them why you're not buying their pair of jeans or shopping in their store. It's because they're using this technology and you oppose being tracked. Because even if you buy that pair of jeans and you can take that tag off and throw it in your trash can, somebody could conceivably come along with a reader and read through your trash without ever lifting the lid. And maybe a pair of jeans isn't so embarrassing, but there might be other products that you're purchasing that you have every legal right to, but you don't want to broadcast it to your neighbors or anybody who wants to snoop in your trash.
Well, I share your opinions on this, and I think the one thing, of course, most of these companies will abide by is if there's enough of an outcry from the public, they won't go ahead with it. And certainly my understanding is that Walmart is one of the big participants in that. Is that what Catherine Albright and Liz McIntyre have been saying?
That's the information that I understand, that they were one of the first nationwide companies to require their suppliers to use RFID. I can understand it from the inventory control, because that's how it started off, as a method of inventory control. But to require your suppliers to use it and then not to inform your customers, so when they take home that Hewlett-Packard printer that it has an RFID tag on it, I think that's wrong. People should have the knowledge that they are being tracked even when they leave the store, that their purchases can be traced back to them.
Now, of course, there's a very good case to be made for inventory control. It's a very, very convenient thing to do, but what about the next step and the next step and the next step? So certainly we're going to have to keep track of what Walmart is doing it. And when they start putting it on the products rather than on the box, that's when we've got to let them know what we feel. Be right back.
Absolutely.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Michelle Tatrone, our subject, Spy Chips. And, of course, we do carry the book by that title. It's written by Liz McIntyre and Catherine Albright, and we certainly sympathize with their campaign to try to make the American people understand there is a program to track everyone. Now, at one time, the American people would have been incensed by that, but it seems like we're sort of becoming more passive, and after all, we've got to fight that wicked Osama bin Laden. I mean, after all, he's over there in the cave, and if we don't fight him, why he's going to take away our freedom, so we've got to let the government track everything and everybody at all times, and whether it be allowing them to monitor all of our telephone calls or emails or our faxes, whether it be putting video cameras in our homes, in our neighborhood, in our bedrooms, whether it be putting GPS localizers in our cars or the localizers in our telephones. They want to know everything you are doing, because you have the potential to be an enemy of the state. And as incredible as it may seem, there really are people out there who have a different worldview. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And of course, Michelle is working with some of the senators on this Senate Bill 768. Now, apparently, many of the Republicans are saying this is anti-business. Well, it is not anti-business. Business has no business tracking us. And if the Republicans are going to go along with the authoritarian society, then you're just going to have to let them know. And I tell you, when they call me, on the phone, as they regularly do, because I've been involved with the Republican Party and I've been a member of the state party for many years, I eventually just resigned from the whole thing over the Arnold Schwarzenegger issue, because, of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger is a dedicated liberal. He's always been a dedicated liberal. And the fact that the Republicans would run him to get rid of Gray Davis was, to me, the most incredible thing that I've ever seen. Under any circumstances, But I very often get calls from the Republican Party asking me for money, and so I have a nice long conversation explaining why I'm not going to give any money to them, you know, at the present time. And what we need to do is be concerned about privacy issues, and just because the ACLU is concerned doesn't mean that we shouldn't be concerned. And if they're going to fight this, we want to certainly fight it as well. So. Now, of course, you had any criticism because, of course, you've been working with the ACLU?
I haven't had any outright criticism from people. They haven't been brave enough to say that, but I never would have dreamed that as a Republican family that we would be working on the same page as the ACLU, because we laugh about it, my friends at the ACLU now, that, you know, gosh, it really does make strange bedfellows. The most criticism we've taken has been shunning in our community. But at first that bothered us, and now we're actually kind of grateful because now we know where they stand. And if that's their viewpoint, well, if they want to hand over all their rights to anybody who just asks for them, they can do that. But in the meantime, we don't choose to.
I certainly sympathize with you. One of the things is it's so easy to say, well, if the ACLU is for it, I'm against it. If the ACLU is against it, I'm for it. But
exactly.
Right now, I mean, where is Republicans who should be concerned about these issues of individual freedom under God? I mean, why are they simply going along with a fascist and what I consider a fascist agenda, which is being pushed by both the leaders of both the Democrat and the Republican Party? And where is the church speaking out against this? Have you had any, success at all in getting the church to be concerned about this idea of people being monitored?
I haven't focused on that level, but I would certainly welcome statements from churches in support of this, because we initially saw this as leaning towards the mark of the beast. It was just so glaringly apparent to us. We couldn't help but think that it was so similar. And the identity documents that we're asking it to be withheld from are things that everybody has to have in society. You have to have a driver's license if you're going to drive. If you're going to walk around the streets of the state of California, you have to have a California ID card if you don't have a driver's license. And it's pretty much impossible to do anything without those two cards, as referenced in biblical passage, that be pretty much impossible to do anything if you don't take the mark of the beast. And so it's a similarity that was very apparent to us in the very beginning.
And of course the thing is that our recurrent theme in our program is we're really involved in the spiritual battle, but it's being fought on ideological and the cultural and a political and a financial and educational battlefield, but it's really all a spiritual battle. And once you understand that, once you see these things falling into place, why, it makes it so much easier to determine which side we should be on.
The people that started this technology, using it for tracking people, they may not have evil plans for it, but it is so accurate at what it does in tracking people in real time without their knowledge. It would be very easy for it to be turned into technology for the wrong reasons. And for that reason, we think that it's a logical stance to say, you know, until we can secure this technology to ensure that it's not eavesdropped on, or that it's not hacked into or broken into, or that it's not copied and cloned, we need to take a 3-year time out on putting it on such sensitive identity documents as driver's licenses, ID cards, student body cards, library cards, government benefit cards. Because as in recent years, it's been shown that these cards are fallible. In this year alone, in January 2006, it was reported that Dutch passports had been cracked in a matter of 2 hours, and that there's something called a VeriChip, which actually was, I believe, the first microchip, RFID microchip, that was okayed for human implantation, and that it has been skimmed and cloned, meaning somebody has unlawfully acquired the personal information off that chip and cloned, obviously copied. And then in 2006, European researchers showed that they could actually infect RFID chips with viruses just like people are sending around the Internet. And so this technology is not secure. And in 2005, Fast Track was even breached, the Fast Track that people use to pay to go through tolls that hangs on their rearview mirror of their car. So it's not a secure technology, in that when you're holding something as sensitive as somebody's, you know, name, address, phone number, birth date, social security number, or anything that could be programmed on that chip, it really needs to be more secure than it currently is. And we think that letting the technologists do what they do and hack and clone into it and figure out the flaws is going to show that this isn't safe, and that it should be put on maybe the digital camera you intend to buy at a store, but not on your driver's license.
Yeah, and I certainly agree with you. I think that we live in amazing times, Michelle. I mean, the technology that's out there, the things that a man can do in altering the genetic structure of foods, and certainly of animals, and altering the genetic structure. But, you know, the thing is that all of these things can be used for good, but they can also be used for evil. And certainly with this technology, I share your concern, and I'm really so glad that you're out there on the front lines of this battle trying to get the information out. Now, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question for Michelle. And Michelle is certainly on the front lines of this battle, and I'm sure that she would probably like people to contact their state assemblyman or their state senators and tell them to get behind that bill. Would that be right?
Yes, please. If you know who your senator or your assemblyman is, send them a letter. A phone call is easy to ignore. Send them a fax. Send them an email. We have spoken to them many times in person at the Capitol, gone into their offices, had appointments with them, had appointments with their staff, and have pleaded our case. I think what it's going to come down to is they really need to hear it from the people they represent that, we are opposed to this technology. Please support Senate Bill 768 and put this sensible legislation into place before you've put it out on everybody's driver's licenses and ID cards, and there's all sorts of stalking or identity theft or worse, and then realize, oh my gosh, this wasn't a good thing after we've already spent all these millions of dollars putting it out there and untold harm to people because they have been damaged by their information going out to who knows what that's obtained a reader.
Now, of course, you have a lot of the big industry solidly behind this.
The technology industries, I can't name them one by one by one, but the technology lobbyists want to say that it's secure and that we will protect you from your privacy concerns and let us handle it, is what we're kind of hearing from the industry.
Just sort of trust us, like we'll never use your Social Security card for anything else but Social Security. You can trust us. And you know, we're going to pass this immigration bill for illegal aliens just one time in 1986, and we'll never have another immigration bill. You can trust us. Well, I mean, when could you ever trust government to ever do anything right?
Well, there's an old saying. It's kind of like the fox guarding the hen house. That's kind of where we were thinking that, you know, the people who stand to profit from it are going to tell you what they want to hear or what they want you to hear. In fact, some of the people who are supporting the use of RFID have recognized that RFID has become a dirty word. So they're starting to use words like contactless and other such words, but it's really just a spin on the same old RFID. But they want to sell it as another name. And I encourage people to educate themselves on it either through the Spy Chips website or through the ACLU website or through purchasing one of the two books, and realize that when they hear these words, it means tracking. Even if you throw it away in your trash, someday somebody will decide to come along and scan your garbage and see what you're using, because companies want the information, and they're going to get it any way they can, either by watching you in a store what you buy or calling you up on the phone and asking you for to complete a survey or driving by your garbage can and scanning it.
They're collecting information on everybody. Every time you go into a grocery store and you use a grocery store discount card,
yes,
all that information is being kept. If you go in and you buy, using a credit card, all that information is stored. They are keeping information on everything you do. And, of course, you say, well, gee, what do I have to worry about, if I'm not doing anything wrong? But you never know what they may consider to be wrong in the future. They want a dossier on every human being in this country, and eventually, I'm sure, on every human being in the world. So, certainly, we carry the books by Chips by Catherine Albright and Liz McIntyre. We think it's an excellent book, and we recommend their website, www.spychips.com. If you are not concerned about your privacy now, who is going to be, and if not now, when? And if you have so little concern about, what the government knows about you, remember that initially America was a unique nation because, we did not have to worry about the government monitoring us. But there has always been this battle between those who wanted to be free and those who want to control. And I think, as I said earlier, it was John Adams that said that any man has the ability to become a tyrant. Well, we've got Kurt calling back again. Kurt, did you have another thought?
Yes. Have you heard of Edwin Black, who's written a number of books? One of them is IBM and the Holocaust.
I have written it, and I've read his book. I know exactly who you're talking about, and I see the similarity with the Holderith machines that IBM originally developed to take the census.
Yeah, for the listening audience,
yes.
The Holderith machines, the Holderith company was a German company owned by IBM in the 30s. IBM kept and controlled and worked with the German companies through their Swiss subsidiaries right through the whole war.
Yes.
At the end of the war, unlike all the other companies that got in trouble, like even the Bushes who got indicted, IBM got off scot-free. They got their machines back. They got, I think they even got damages.
Yes.
But the thing is, the Holocaust could never have been done if, or at anywhere near the degree, maybe 2 million instead of 6 million Jews. The thing is that IBM tracked every Jew, and they knew what the cards were for. They knew what they were doing, period. They had to do the programs.
Yes.
But they had programs where they tracked every individual. Now, this is technology of 60 years ago or more. And with the Holderith cards, they were able to just sweep up the Jews left and right and other parties they were after. Well, with what they have today, it's thousands of times more efficient. And Stan was saying, people were saying they can trust the government. No, the government has already used that information. They used it in Germany. They used it in France. They used it in several other European countries. The government, quote unquote, has already used this kind of information for ultimate evil. Of course they'll do it again.
That's
quite
our
well,
fear.
Quite well made, Kurt. Thank you so much. Anything else you wanted to say?
No, that's fine.
All right, God bless. And how would you respond to what Kurt had said there?
A quote that I try to instill in my children is that if you don't remember history, you're doomed to repeat it. And that is a perfect example of an innocent technology that was used to speed census taking for legitimate purposes, that it was used by somebody with evil intentions very effectively. It is how Hitler knew where everybody was that he wanted to get, is by using those census cards run through the Holderith machines. And as Kurt pointed out, that's kind of ancient technology in the technology world if it was 60 years ago. And with this, again, I say that RFID, you wouldn't even know. You would not even have to participate in filling out the form. You carry it, they can track you in real time without your knowledge. You don't have to be rounded up and put in a ghetto. They could find you. And people say, oh, they'd have to have readers everywhere. That would be impractical. Well, all you would have to do is go by a intersection, as is used on the tollways in Texas, and the fast track is red off the freeway. And you could be tracked that way. It could track you as you get on the highway, as you get off the highway, and maybe as you entered into the door of a public building. it's not inconceivable. And this is frankly what we got nightmares out of, and why we decided that once it's out of our school, that we needed to continue along on the path of legislation to make sure this won't happen.
Well, I think I congratulate you for what you're doing. What's really so interesting, if our listeners are watching on the highways, you're going to see these cameras going up on the highways there that are stop signs in our cities. I mean, in this town up in Alaska, you know, with about 300 or 400 people, and they've got a dozen or more video cameras there monitoring everything that's going on. And you have to ask yourself, why are they doing it? Well, because they're people who really do want to control. There are people who have a different agenda. There are people who, I believe, worship a different God. We'll be back in just a minute to wrap up this evening's program. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and certainly our guest this evening has been Michelle Tatro. And Michelle, you've got about 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
I'd like to, again, ask your listeners to let your elected officials know that you support Senate Bill 768 through writing them or accessing them through the ACLUNC.org website, and that pointed out also that there's many other agencies or protection groups that are backing this bill, not just the ACLU and Eagle Forum. We have diverse groups such as the Electronic Frontier Foundation, the California PTA, Privacy Rights Clearinghouse, of course, Eagle Forum, Free Congress, Liberty Coalition. And so when you see such a diverse group supporting this bill, it really does make you think that you should take a second look at it and investigate why such groups from such divergent paths are coming together on this issue. I don't want to see a day when we are chipped and tracked like cattle are in our food supply. My family, myself, my children, we're not cattle, and we deserve to be treated as human beings with the respect and the dignity that a human being deserves, as does every person in the world.
And I agree with you totally, and we know that they have this program that every animal, every farm animal in this country is going to have to be chipped if they have their way about it. Every dog, every cat, it's only a matter of times. The veterinarians are pushing this. Oh, it'll be so convenient now. Oh, we won't be able to have rustling. We won't have to brand the animals. All we have to do is run them by the monitor. So understand, ladies and gentlemen, that this is nothing that we can take lightly. We put out one fire, they light another one. We need to get people educated on the fact that there is a spiritual dimension to everything going on, and there are powerful spiritual forces that are at work today to destroy the freedom in America that was once the land of the free and the home of the brave. Michelle, thank you so very much for being with us. It's been a real fun hour, and if we can ever help you, please let us know.
Well, thank you for helping us spread the word that people need to mobilize against this and join us and let your elected officials know that you don't want to be RFID chipped and that you support this legislation.
And that's Senate Bill 768, right?
Yes, sir.
Good night and God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, that was Michelle Tatro. I hope you enjoyed our program with her. I think it's a very important subject. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. I would simply mention that we do carry the book, Spy Chip. If you'd like to know more about that, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We have a number of interviews with Catherine Albright and with Liz McIntyre. They do a great job of trying to get the truth out about what this is about. And understand that the forces on the other side are very powerful. They have unlimited sums of money behind them, and their ultimate goal is the control of every human being from the cradle to the grave. And it seems so difficult for people to believe that anything could be that diabolical until you read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. And let me suggest that book. A Brotherhood of Darkness, the video, the DVD, or the book. You need to have the information. You need to help us get it out. We have a great new video. It's called World Revolution. It includes my interview with Ambassador Smith that was done back in 1980. And Ambassador Smith was the American ambassador to Cuba at the time when our government intentionally put Fidel Castro in power, knowing he was a communist. Don't think for 1 minute the lie you've been told, that we just didn't know what we were doing. Oh, shucks, we made another mistake. You know, it was president of Egypt, President Nasser, who said, you know, the genius of you Americans is you never make simple, stupid mistakes. You always make complex, stupid mistakes so that we keep wondering what you're really doing and if we're missing something. Well, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, our government does not make stupid mistakes. They know exactly what they're doing. They just want the American people to realize that there really is a secret agenda, and that is to bring about a one-world government to destroy the sovereignty of America and of every other nation in the world, and to slave all mankind, and to have everybody shipped and controlled from the cradle to the grave, and no man will buy or sell, unless he wear the mark of the beast or be known by the number of his name. There are powerful spiritual forces at work, and it's about time the American people begin to realize we are involved in a spiritual battle, and join us in this battle, a battle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization. Our telephone number again, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a free copy of one of our newsletters, we'd be glad to send it to you. And then, of course, we hope you'll go to our website at www.radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com, and pull down our programs and encourage your friends to listen. And for your friends who say, we don't have anything to worry about, we're going to be raptured before anything bad happens, just tell them that's just what the people of Germany thought back in the 30s. And what happens if you're wrong? What happens if the rapture comes 30 years after America's been fallen and you and your children have been enslaved or even worse, killed or tortured to death? Could this happen? Yes, it could certainly happen in America, because we've turned our back on our moral code. We no longer have the high ground. Our government actually supports the use of torture, and the average individual has no idea what's going on. Remember our website, radioliberty.com. You can listen to our programs there 5 hours a day. You listen to our shortwave 4 hours a day. Telstar 5, 9 hours a day. Pray for America. Pray for Radio Liberty.